Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson. Welcome to the show. Today we're going to be talking about different ways of investing. If you don't want to directly own something, it is possible to become a passive investor. What do I mean by this? Well, it's a bit like in the stock market. If you don't want to own lots of different companies directly, there is another way to do it, by buying into a fund, and they own different companies. So too in real estate. You can become a passive investor. And here to explain how that is possible, I have Amy Kirsch on the line, and she is from Realty Shares. So welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Amy, would you like to just tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is now with Realty Shares?
Absolutely. I head the investor services team here at Realty Shares, where we interface with investors when they're coming to the platform and working with them, introducing them to real estate in certain circumstances, as well as working with them over the life of their investment. Realty Shares offers a diverse set of investment opportunities in the real estate, and so my team is serving those clients. Previously, I was in the wealth management space, most recently with JP Morgan, where I worked with a similar client base, helping them to allocate their assets across a diverse set of investment opportunities.
And today we're going to be talking about how it's possible to be a passive real estate investor. So to start off with, could you just explain to me the differences that, in your point of view, between real estate and the stock market investing?
Absolutely. The main difference that you're going to see between real estate and the stock market are a risk-return profile that's going to be a bit different because of the illiquidity that comes along with real estate. So oftentimes the returns related to investments on Realty Shares platform will be quite significantly higher than the stock market. So the stock market averages around 7% annually, and real estate is doing almost double that. And the reason for that, like I mentioned, is because where you can buy and sell an asset in the stock market, there's daily liquidity for those assets. For real estate, it's going to be a buy and hold over a longer term period, where you're not going to have liquidity over the duration. So if you invest in an opportunity on our platform, you may have a 3 to 5 year projected term where you wouldn't be able to trade out of it over that time. But with that, there's a return premium that you would expect as well for having that money locked up over that time frame.
Thanks for explaining that. What type of investors are you looking at?
Yes, currently our platform works with accredited investors. And what that means is an average income, an individual income of $200,000 over the previous 2 years, or a household income of $300,000 or greater. Or if you have a net worth outside of your primary home of $1 million, any of those would qualify as an accredited investor.
Can you explain to me the advantage of using a platform like Realty Shares for the typical investor?
What Realty Shares brings to the table is usually real estate is complex and behind a lot of barriers where you need to know the sponsor, or so you're finding deals or offers in your neighborhood with people you know. So Realty Shares really breaks that open and democratizes the real estate space, where you can get access to sponsors or offers, really investment opportunities all over the country in a wide variety of asset classes. So if you are looking for an apartment building or a single family home, it's one-stop shopping for real estate investment opportunities.
So you are over a broad platform. You're in different real estate spaces.
Yes, both commercial and residential. We've done deals in 35 states. So that's what we're bringing. And then also there's a minimum investment size, which is going to be significantly lower than what you would see traditionally in a syndicated real estate deal, where those can be $250,000 to $500,000. We often provide access at $5,000 as an entry point for an investment.
That sounds very reasonable. So how do people get started in something like this?
It's a great question and one we hear often. What makes sense for the particular investment really depends on their investment objectives. So if you are interested in allocating $50,000, it might make sense to think about if you're looking for income or growth and then base your product preferences on that. What I'd say for most people is to really get to understand the different real estate products that we offer. Think about your overall allocation and diversify across a couple of different offerings that we have on the platform. So you're able to, and that's one of the benefits of investing with us, is that diversification option that you wouldn't normally see in real estate. So making sense of your investment objective, which my team is there to help you assess, diversifying across a couple of different deals, and maybe for your first investment, it makes sense to start at a bit of a lower check size so you get comfortable with the process and how an investment like ours works.
So how does the investor get a return? Is it like a monthly income payment, or do they only get a return at the end of a project?
So depending on the type of underlying offering that it is, it will depend on the payout structure. For our debt and certain preferred equity instruments, you're going to get a monthly payment over the life of the investment, and then the principal would be returned at the exit. For equity, it would be a quarterly payment that is based upon a couple different components, such as cash flow availability, and then again, principal repayment and perhaps profit participation at the exit. The specifics to any deal that we would launch on the platform really need to be reviewed by the investor, are very deal specific and are listed on our offering pages. But there should be cash flow for most of our investments over the life of the investment as well, not just at exit.
Can you explain to me how it all works? You have businesses coming to you looking to borrow money, and you have investors coming to invest money.
Yes, so exactly right. We're connecting those two parties like you just described. People coming on the one side, sponsors or borrowers looking for capital, and then investors looking to place capital. From an investor side, people learn of us and come to us from all different ways, sometimes from podcasts like the one we're on right now, or from learning about us from some press that we might have been in. There's a variety of ways that people might, or just simply seeking real estate opportunities and find us online. From a sponsor or borrower perspective, similar. We have similar marketing efforts on that side. We're really active in the real estate community. So through our connection, we're finding them that way as well.
Your borrowers, do they have a track record with your company? Is there any selection criteria that you use? Is there like a size that you fund?
Yes. So there are all of those requirements. We do very robust due diligence on our side, which differentiates ourselves from some of the other platforms you might see out there. We have initial requirements, which, as you just described, a track record. We run credit scores. We look at the experience of the borrower. The track record doesn't necessarily need to be on the platform, because oftentimes it's a first-time borrower or sponsor with us, but we're looking for historical experience in the space and that they've been able to execute in the past. And then we have underwriting teams here that will further review whether it be the geography, where the product is located, and we have underwriting guidelines for our debt deals that if it meets our credit box, then we would be able to write the loan. So a similar process to what you might see in a more traditional lender, but in terms of the underwriting side, but with our own built-in restrictions that we've built in-house.
How long has your company been going? Is this a need the directors saw to fill? Is it harder to get money borrowed from banks for these type of investments?
Yes. So our competitors on the debt side are hard money lenders traditionally, which are charging even higher rates than what. So we're charging a bit of a higher rate than a traditional lender, but hard money lenders are significantly more expensive than us. So we found that people who are looking for capital quickly and efficiently there's an absolute need in the space, and it's a pretty big market that we're able to tap into there. So we're fulfilling that need in that regard. From a sponsor perspective on a commercial side, we service the middle market real estate sponsors. So absolutely there. And we're doing both equity financing and debt financing. And there's a need for capital. It's a very inefficient space where the large institutions cover the large sponsors, but this middle space, $50 million deals and below, it's very difficult for them to acquire large amounts of capital in an efficient manner.
You're filling a gap in the market, it sounds like.
Absolutely. On both sides, we're servicing an underserved where the financing isn't readily available. And then from an investor perspective, where they wouldn't have access to all these deals and matching them together. So fulfilling on both sides.
That's very interesting and new information, I imagine, for a lot of the listeners. A lot of my listeners are also looking to build up their investment portfolios as they look towards the future and to retirement. Is there other ways that this real estate can be invested in and held for the future?
Yeah, so I think I understand your question, and you can direct me if I'm right, but we allow for investments through retirement accounts on our platform. So if someone was looking to invest retirement assets, we absolutely, and in some cases, it can make a lot of sense because, as I mentioned when we were earlier speaking, it's a longer term hold. So for someone who's looking for retirement assets to build, then that could make sense because you're not able to trade in and out of them, but that might not be as important if you're holding in a retirement account for a long period of time. Also, the returns can be more significant, so you won't have that there's some tax efficiency there as well. Did I correctly answer your question?
Yes. Are you actively chasing this market?
Absolutely. We work with a wide variety of custodians across. So when an investor comes to us, a lot of our investors that had been on the platform asked for this ability to invest through their retirement accounts. So we work with a ton of custodians, and we are actively pursuing because it's such a nice match for what their investment goals are and how real estate can fit into that.
Yes, I've asked people before. They usually say, when should you start looking for retirement and saving for retirement? And they usually say, oh, you should have started 20 years ago. So what else can you share with us today? Do you have some tips and tricks for someone looking to invest in real estate for the first time?
I do. So our platform, RealtyShares.com, has a wide resource, a very vast resource of educational components there. So if you're new to real estate, I suggest digging in, getting to understand the products that we offer. The sales team that I work with is very, very knowledgeable, has worked with high net worth clients in the past and understanding retirement goals. And ultimately, I think what's important is to go into the offering pages and really understand the investment as well. We have a very diverse set and a lot of different product types. And so it's important to understand the benefits and, of course, the risks associated with these types of investments. With the longer-term hold and the illiquid nature, there is the possibility of not performing. So all of this information is very carefully detailed within our offering pages. And I really like to tell investors, before you get started, go into them, get into the details, ask us all your questions. We try to provide as many resources as possible on our platform, but this is what we're here to do with investors, is speak to them and get them comfortable with understanding this asset class.
How long has your company been in existence? Are you able to give us an indication of how many properties that have been turned over, so to speak?
Realty Shares is over 3 years old, and since our inception through January of this year, we've raised over $300 million of investor funds across 550 different deals and have returned capital on approximately 200 deals.
What else would you like to share with us today about becoming a passive real estate investor?
Well, I'd like to share how exciting it is that the laws have changed. So we had the Jobs Act in 2012, which allow for platforms like Realty Shares to exist. It's a really exciting way to that we can show these kinds of deals to investors and to think about. Sometimes people are real estate investors and they don't want to have that active management anymore. So thinking about passive income and what that means, and it's very difficult to attract yield sometimes in a basic stock portfolio. So this is a great alternative to put yielding investments inside of your retirement portfolio or your investment portfolio that you're day-to-day looking over. I think you'll find that it's doesn't react in the same way as the traditional stock market. So you're not going to see that kind of correlation like you would in other asset classes. So that's why it's very unique. And the ability to invest at these lower minimums is also very unique, where you wouldn't traditionally have access to real estate in that regard.
That's very interesting. So could you just give us the guide again about what type of return that investors would be looking at?
Yes. So of course, these are projected returns and are not guaranteed in any way. But so we have three different product types that we offer on the platform. Debt, which is very akin to a mortgage often, where you're going to be giving a loan and then receiving a stated interest rate. Those returns on average are 8 to 10%. There's also a preferred equity product, which is a blended equity debt product where you will receive a stated interest rate, but there's no first lien on the underlying properties. You'll find that the average rates of return there are 11 to 15%. And the last product type is equity, where you really look more like a business owner in that case, where you have the both profit participation if there is upside, or if there is underperformance and you would participate in that regard as well. The average returns on that product are 15 to 22%, I'd say, on averaging around 17.
Wow, that's very impressive numbers you've got there.
Yeah, so that's what's so exciting about it is with these kinds of illiquid private placements, there is that opportunity to get larger returns. And like I talked about earlier, it comes with additional risk as well, which investors should be well aware of. But the opportunity, if you diversify well, I think that those risks can be mitigated.
Are you actively looking for overseas investors as well?
So it's an interesting question. We cannot currently solicit overseas investors. We have a fund, which is a diversified fund that's a bit of a larger investment size, but we have foreign investors in our fund. With foreign investors, if they'd like to use the platform, there is an opportunity to do that if they form a U.S. LLC or have a U.S. entity of some kind, or file taxes individually in the U.S. So it's really become, it's more of a tax question than anything else. But in our fund, we absolutely do allow foreign investors.
And do you help foreign investors with that process of setting up an LLC? I think we need to explain that that's forming a company in the U.S. market.
We do not assist with it. And I unfortunately, I'm not too certain about the complexities around that. I have set up LLCs myself. It's not terribly difficult, but I'm not sure what that means from a foreign investor's perspective. And we do have investors on the platform from all over the world that have set up U.S. entities, like you said, a corporation or a limited liability company, and then set up a tax ID related to it and invest using that.
You mentioned the fund a couple of times. Can you just clarify to me what you meant about the fund?
Yes. The fund is an opportunity for investors to write a single check and get allocated across a diverse set of the investment opportunities we have on the platform. The minimum investment size is $250,000, but with that size, you're going to get access to from 10 to 20 different deals, and the benefits are the fees are lower than what we show on the platform. There's consolidated tax reporting, and it's an easy access point for foreign investors, whereas, like I mentioned, on the platform, they would need a U.S. entity in order to invest.
You mentioned fees there. So the question is, can you explain to me about the fees that the company charges?
The fees are a 1% asset management fee that's charged to investors. For the fund, it's reduced to 80 basis points, so a bit of a reduction there. We also charge origination fees to the sponsor. an important thing to remember is that all of the information that we give on the deal pages are net of these fees. Also, that fees are charged from cash flow that you're receiving from the deal. So if you invest $1,000 and receive $10 every month, the fees will just be reduced from the cash flow that you're receiving.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's the first point of contact if anyone wants to find out more information about becoming involved with Realty Shares and what products you offer?
Yes, the first step would be to register on our website, realtyshares.com, as an investor. And if you have any questions or want to set up a call with my team, you can email invest@realtyshares.com and we respond within 24 hours always. And so we would get to any questions you may have.
And do people contact you direct or do their custodians contact you?
They would contact us directly. So they can go to our website, register on the platform on realtyshares.com. If you email invest@realtyshares.com, we will respond within 24 hours or less. And we have a full team here to speak with investors and answer any questions.
Well, it's been very interesting chatting to you today. And
it's my pleasure. It's been wonderful speaking with you.
And it seems like a great opportunity for anyone that's interested in investing in real estate, how you can do it by becoming a passive real estate investor through a platform like Realty Shares. So thank you very much, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody. Mm-hmm.